Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When looking for a new home, location is so important. And as sports fans, you obviously want to be close to your favorite sports teams. So if you're in the market of buying a new home, you gotta check out Aria Denver Homes. They are located just 10 minutes away from downtown, Coors Field, Pepsi Center, and Broncos Stadium at Mile High.
So what makes Aria Denver unique is the home buying process is all about you. You know, we offer free home inspections. We make sure we're in a great location in Denver, as well as we outreach into the community and have a lot of involvement with a lot of different businesses, as well as, you know, parks and other areas in the location.
Like Tyler mentioned, Aria Denver believes the home buying process is all about you. That's why they offer that free home inspection, customizable finishes, and brand new appliances. But that's not all.
So we specifically have a greenhouse on campus at Aria that residents are able to sign up for a subscription service and have fresh veggies delivered to their door each week. And then we also have a great relationship with Regis University. So our partnership with Regis allows residents to have access to the fitness center and gym.
Move today where everyone wants to live tomorrow. To learn more, go to www.aria.denverskylofts.com or call them today at 720-372-1022.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the Coors from Mile High, the best part of the weekend. Hugging a perfect stranger as they become a friend, having a good time when the orange and blue WIN.
Ah, feels good to be back. Feels good to be back. Welcome in to the BSN Broncos podcast presented by The Green Solution. Got you again. The Green Solution has 17 Colorado locations and an express checkout to get you in and out as fast as possible. Get on your phone right now. Go to their website, mygreensolution.com. Order your flower, concentrates, edibles, topicals, or whatever else online, and then head to the closest Green Solution to pick it up. Use code BSN20 for 20% off your entire purchase. Well, Zach.
First off, Ryan.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
How's the Mile High air treating you?
Actually, not as great as I would hope. I'm really dealing with some allergies this morning.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. Maybe, like, going to a field in Ohio, which is basically where I stayed. I lost my anecdote for Colorado allergies. Like, my body tried to, like, figure out how to fix those allergies, and then now these ones are all, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But it feels great to be back. Had an awesome time out there in Canton. I wasn't able to catch your guys' podcast, so I don't know what I missed, what I need to address here. But
you were a busy man out there.
Yeah, you know, that was one thing that was a little bit of a bummer I guess, it was just one thing after another, after another, after another. Like, I wasn't able to necessarily write as much as I wanted to because there was no downtime. So, you know, I wrote a piece about Pat Bowlen that I would encourage you guys to read. But, like, I wrote that from the airport yesterday. I was just like, I'm just going to go to the airport early and write my story. And finally got a chance to sit down and crank out some stuff. So hopefully a few more things coming from there. I talked to a couple of Broncos fans, a couple subscribers for one story that I'm working on. So keep an eye out for that. But, man, speaking of seeing some subscribers, we had an amazing time on Friday night. All right, I guess I got to set the stage here for you. So remember, whatever the last day we did a podcast, what would that have been? Last Wednesday.
Yep.
I was like, no one reached out to me and gave me a place to meet. So yep. I'm just going to look up the nearest bar to the Canton Civic Center, because that's where I'm going to be for the Gold Jacket dinner. And I'll just tell everyone to go there. And so I found a place, just like on Google Maps. And it was called Passion Blues. And I'm like, oh, and like they have live music. I'm like, yeah, this place sounds great. So I run into a girl that I went to college with, and she lived right down the street from me on the night of the game. And she's like, oh, we should meet up, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, you should come to Passion Blues on Friday night. She's like, okay, cool. So then while I'm at the Gold Jacket dinner, I get a text from her that says, she was like staying with her parents because her parents live nearby to Canton. And she's like, my mom said I'm not allowed to go to Passion Blues because it's super sketch.
What?
And I'm like, uh-oh, what have I done? But in my head, I'm like,
you can't change it now.
Oh, yeah. Definitely couldn't change it at that point. I already told everyone to go there. But in my head, I'm like, it's like two blocks from where I am right now. And where I am is fine. So anyways, I get in the car and head over there. And area could have been better. But here's the kicker. So it actually turns out that Eamon Badwin, Zach Castro, and Eamon's cousin, we all pulled in at like the exact same time. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll all just walk in together. So I open one door to go in, and then I go to open the next door. It's locked. I'm like, what? And I can hear the music, so I know they're not like closed. Well, a few seconds later, a guy opens the door and lets us in. I didn't really think of anything of it at the time. I was like, oh, that was weird that the door was locked. It must have just like been an accident. So we go over and sit down at our table, order a couple cold snacks. And then I look up, and behind the bar, they have a screen with a camera that shows that little room that we went into like, before we got in. And they have a button that can unlock the door, or they have a bouncer. And he has his own screen, too.
Oh,
so literally,
my gosh.
They've got surveillance. So they can see who wants to come in and decide whether or not they want to let him in or not.
Do you know what they do to the people that they don't want to let in? They, like, spray them with water or something?
I assume they just don't open the door. Eventually, the people will leave. But, yeah, so that's the type of place it was. But...
So you felt safe once you were inside?
Yeah, I mean, the crowd inside was totally normal. There's good music, little like Jimi Hendrix cover band playing in there. We were on like the back side of the bar, so the music didn't interfere with our conversation too much. But man, we had a really good time. We got there at about 9:45. We didn't leave, I think, until 1 a.m.
Ooh.
So we were there telling stories, talking Broncos, watching Shark Week on television. But we really had a good time. I ordered a salad, Zach. I didn't eat dinner before we got there. I ordered a salad that literally came with like a whole farm on it.
Wow.
Like it had three different types of meat on it. And
what?
I'm telling you, this thing was piled like 7 inches off the bowl. Which is like chicken, like steak. ham. Like, it was just like overflowing. I couldn't even like put my fork into it without it. So that was kind of funny. But no, it was awesome time. So shout out to everyone who came. It was Eamon. It was Zach. It was Eamon's cousin. And then Joseph. So awesome time. Awesome time.
That's awesome.
Couple BSN shirts out.
Oh.
But yeah, it is so weird that the reason that Pro Football Hall of Fame is in Canton is because that's where the NFL was founded. But it is so weird that like everything just focuses down on this tiny little town in Ohio.
Yeah.
And heck, where I stayed was 30 minutes, I think, northwest of there. And this was like to get there, which was like kind of sketch driving in this at like 2 a.m., 2 in the morning. To get there, you had to drive through like a one-lane dirt road through the middle of like a forest.
Wow.
And like I was pretty sketched out. There's like a thin layer of fog like hanging over the road.
You think someone was going to jump out and kidnap you?
I was just like, man, like if I crash, like I don't know, something happens, like a deer comes, I crash or something, like what would I do? I had no cell service. I'd just be done out here.
That's in what town?
Sebring.
Sebring.
Sebring, Ohio. My Airbnb was nice. They had like a little chalkboard on my door. It said like, "Welcome, Ryan." That was a nice touch. They had cold water. That's all I can really ask for. But man, it was interesting.
Cold water. Wouldn't people typically say they had hot water? That's all I could ask for.
No, only weirdos. And it was bottled, so I never had to have any Ohio tap water, which is good. You never know what you're going to get.
Speaking of tap water, we had someone invade our podcast for 5 minutes on Friday. Can you guess who that would be? Someone invaded our podcast.
I could not.
Okay, I'll call a special guest. Oh, we had Brandon Spano. On the pod, and he talked about tap water. He said we need to stop calling it Colorado water. That tastes good. He says we need to call it Denver water that tastes good because he said just where he is in Highlands Ranch right now, moved from Denver to Highlands Ranch, says the water is awful. Douglas County's water is awful, he says. So he says we need to isolate it just down to Denver.
Listen. When I say Colorado, there's only two places in Colorado. There's Denver and there's Boulder. Those are the only two. Like, everything else doesn't even count.
That's fair. I can roll with that.
Obviously, I'm...
And there's the mountains.
Oh, yeah. Mountain water's good, too.
Yep. You're good
in all
three
places. You got Denver, Boulder, and just the mountains.
Yep.
Like, I don't know about Vail, Steamboat, Breckenridge. Ah, oh, Breckenridge. Damn good beers. Keystone.
You know how they make their damn good beer?
Colorado water.
Damn good water.
Yep. It's just Denver, Boulder, the mountains.
Because so, we had a listener reach out.
I'm not worried
out
about Highlands Ranch or anything else.
Because we had a listener reach out who was, you know, even more suburb of Highlands Ranch, I think, like, just on the eastern plains. And they said, the water here is not very good. So it would fall into your conversation.
You guys got it all wrong. I'm in DTC. Water's still good. So maybe that's the cutoff. But it's still Denver. I have a Denver address.
Yep. Thankfully.
Sorry for you guys. I'm sure Fort Collins water isn't good either. Oh, man. Okay. Quick things. I think first thing I want to talk about is the game. Just a quick thing. I was talking to a media member who will remain nameless yesterday. We were actually on the same plane. And in the same row.
Wow.
And
next to each other?
I was next to a media member. I would say who that was, but that would just end up being too much of a lead because I don't want to put this person on blast directly because I like them a lot. But they were making like sweeping generalizations about the Broncos based on what we saw in the Hall of Fame game.
About the Broncos that started like three players?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Just wanted to get that straight.
And it's like a type of person that, first of all, you know me, I fall asleep instantly on planes. So I didn't want to argue with them. But in my head, I was just thinking like, how could you make these? Like, one of the things they said was like, oh, Rich Scangarello is going to be painfully conservative. And I was thinking like, what? How would you devise that from what we just saw, which is like literally the considered to be the most vanilla game in the history of football. It wasn't even preseason, Zach. It was pre-preseason.
Isn't preseason just so freaking boring because coaches don't want to show anything?
Yeah, it's all about player evaluation. You do your base, and you just want to see how player X does against player Y.
And you don't want to show anything to the Oakland Raiders come week one.
So that, to me, was a head-scratcher. One thing that I think you actually can take away is that Kevin Hogan is very much on this team right now. And to his credit, because we haven't done that much here on this podcast, he was the best quarterback out there by a long shot.
It was the best he's been through all of training camp. He, right now, as Vic Fangio would slyly call him, he's a gamer as of right now.
He is. And so, and that actually checks out because he was a gamer at Stanford. He's the winningest quarterback in the history of Stanford.
There's been a few Stanford quarterbacks, right?
I know of one for sure.
Cause I can think of two. Oh, I guess three now throwing Kevin Hogan. Luck.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's pretty good too. And don't forget about whatever the guy's name is who's there now who's kind of good. KJ Costello.
Speaking of the first one, John just pulled up, so good timing there, John.
Good time. Hey, he heard his ears ringing. He wanted to come on the podcast and defend why he's not the winningest quarterback in Stanford history. Didn't actually win a lot of games.
No.
At Stanford back in his day, which is a defense for Drew Locke not winning that many games. Mm. Patrick Mahomes didn't win many games either.
Mm.
Anyways, the other sweeping generalization, and this wasn't actually from that media member, it's just from fans being fans, and I get why people panic. But it's just the Drew Locke is a bust, or Drew Locke was so disappointing, I expected more, blah, blah, blah. Look, I get it. He wasn't good. It was hard to watch. He also didn't have any protection for most of the night. And it's his first ever time on a field like this. You just saw why they're happy they have Joe Flacco here.
Yep.
And you saw why Drew Locke fell to the second round. And that's okay. Because we know that Drew Locke has the tools. But the reason he fell to the second round is because he wasn't ready. He's not ready. And he doesn't need to be ready for this team. But if there's something that I took away as it relates to Kevin Hogan and Drew Locke, and I'll let you speak on this in a second, is I think they're going to keep Kevin because of what you saw out there, which is that Drew isn't ready. And I think they're going to make a point to say, you know what, let's keep Drew as the three. And, you know, touch wood, if Joe Flacco gets injured in week one, then we don't have to put Drew in and derail our whole plans just because Joe Flacco sprained his ankle.
But so you're going to cut the game-winning touchdown thrower, Brett Rypien?
No, he's going to come up limp in week five of the preseason.
Because if you need him this year, well, you're in big trouble.
And here's the thing with Brett Rypien is, like, are you willing to risk the plan for who you believe is the future of the franchise for your undrafted quarterback? The answer is no. So I like Brett Rypien. I think you like Brett Rypien. I hope the Broncos are able to keep him. And if they just have to put him on the practice squad, great. Remember, every other team in the NFL didn't want him. You know, obviously there's some teams who are interested in getting him as an undrafted free agent, but it's not as if teams are going to say, oh my God, Peyton Manning's on the market. Like, we'll fall all over ourselves to cut one of our guys to make sure we can bring in that guy. And let's also note that Brett wasn't that impressive. He threw up a ball, and Juwan Winfrey did all the work anyway. So I think they're going to keep three quarterbacks, and I think that Kevin Hogan is going to be kept, and he's going to remain the backup so that the Broncos don't have to change their plans based off of unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, I was just playing about Brett Rypien. But Ryan, Dwayne Haskins will make his NFL debut this week, I would imagine. Who are the other quarterbacks? I'd want to leave Kyler Murray out of this because of how much you'll salivate over the idea of watching him play a game. And Daniel Jones, I imagine, will make his NFL debut this week. If they had the exact same game as Drew Locke, would you be surprised?
Not at all.
Would you be calling them busts?
No.
Would you be saying, what were you doing Well, you may say this at drafting Daniel Jones at number five, but or six, wherever that was. But what would you be? You're not writing them off right away. No. No, you're not saying, oh my gosh, this is why Dwayne Haskins fell to 15 because he had four incomplete passes. I was shocked that Drew Lock went 7 for 11. I mean, it did not feel like that type of game. Now, the 34 yards kind of falls into place of, okay, it was just all short stuff. But, you know, outside of overthrowing a few balls and being uncomfortable in that very last series, he was okay. He didn't come out there and look like a scared goat the entire time. It was just that last series when he freaked out. And you know what he looked like? He looked like a rookie quarterback making his NFL debut.
And yeah, exactly. And the other thing, people were really hot. Oh, wait. Remember when Brandon tweeted the first day of camp? Like, Drew Lock's amazing. Start him right now.
Yep.
And, like, we knew it was tongue-in-cheek, but it got people fired up anyway. Another media member who will remain nameless.
I got to get the names of these media members after
this. It's so funny because I swear our listeners, like, take notes. Because there were so many questions like this at the meetup on Friday. And I'm like, wait, oh, who did this? Who said that? Who trashed your tent? Another media member who will remain nameless came up to me and was like, you guys really need to pump the brake on this Drew Lock stuff. And I was like,
I know who that is.
And I was like, I bet you do. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because neither you or I have said anything of the sort of start
him.
Yeah. And he's like, what did your boy Spano tweet the first day of camp? And I was like, oh, that was completely tongue-in-cheek just to get people fired up. And it worked. And the person didn't believe me. Like, they thought I was, like, trying to cover for him. And I was like, no, that was seriously, like, a joke. It was frustrating. Anyways, no one is saying to start Drew Lock right now. Like, literally no one.
No.
At least no one that's been out here. So, anyways, that was fresh on my mind. But the other thing I've heard a lot is that Vic Fangio is being too hard on Drew Lock. What do you think of that?
Vic Fangio's... No. No. In fact, Ryan, it's...
The phrase I heard was not having his guys back.
No, not at all. And in fact, I feel like it's the exact opposite. He's a guy... What do you guys want? Do you want Vance Joseph of last year where everything's great, everything's fine, everyone's
Paxton's
doing well?
Paxton.
Right, exactly. He's tall, good week of practice. I know you guys don't want the good week of practice, the good Wednesday practice.
Please do not bring that up ever on this podcast.
So what do you want? You want Vic to just say the exact same thing again? You want Vic to be saying everything's good at 7 for 11. He overthrew a few balls. Don't worry about it, guys. Just let him go. Be nice on my guy. I got his back. No. Yeah, I know you guys don't want that. And in fact, what's the belief? Once someone, especially a guy like Vic, stops being critical on guys that he believes in, it means he doesn't believe in them anymore. It means they're done. Once people stopped asking questions about Paxton last year, it's because everyone knew. No one needed to know. No one needed to ask. When you stop talking about someone and you stop caring, it shows you exactly where they are. Drew, he's the future. So clearly the Broncos are doing the complete opposite of what they did with Paxton. They're not giving him anything. Paxton was supposed to be given the starting job. He was battling Mark Sanchez, who they traded a conditional 7th-round pick for, and when they traded him, John Elway said, I assure you guys, we're going to make other moves at the quarterback position. They had a 7th-round pick, Trevor Siemian. That was Paxton's job to have. Now, is it the craziest thing that he has to battle Kevin Hogan for the backup job? No, that doesn't seem like the most difficult thing for Drew to do, but he's got Joe Flacco there, so they're making him earn every single thing. And they're making him earn it. They're not just going to give it to him. So they're going to challenge him on a daily basis.
And here's another thing. They don't plan on playing Drew. Like I just said, they don't plan on playing Drew this year. So their whole entire plan here is to force him to get better. And if there's one thing that went wrong with Paxton Lynch, and there were many, but one main thing is that they gave him that year, that first year off, essentially. and he didn't do anything with it. He just enjoyed his time off.
He said, I'm getting $5 million to just sit here and have no expectations and don't need to do anything.
And I think the Broncos look back and say, we should have pushed him a lot harder. We should have made him get better. And I think that's what you're seeing right now. A lot of the players have talked about how they want Vic Fangio's approval. Well, Vic Fangio is going to make Drew Lock earn every single compliment that he gets from him. And I don't even think he's gotten one yet. He wasn't good enough except for his scramble. He got complimented the scramble.
And it hasn't been all tough on Drew Lock, who, oh, man.
Yeah, he has said, like, he's progressing right. And stuff like that.
Exactly. So there's been some harsh comments about he's not a quarterback. He's a hard-throwing pitcher learning how to pitch. That's intense. That's harsh. That sends a message. There's the comments after the game, which you mentioned and you wrote about. And then there's the he's progressing. He's doing better. And, man, he's out here, and does he look good? He just looks like a baller.
He will be. He will be a baller one day.
So don't worry. Take a deep breath. A deep breath. It's going to be okay.
I think the thing that's most fresh on Broncos fans' mind, and the last thing that I think that we have to cover here, is just the enshrinement ceremony last night. And the Bolin thing was nice. It's kind of awkward because another, like, dumb thing from the Hall of Fame. The only people who are allowed to give a speech are the person who is being enshrined. Obviously, Pat couldn't do that for himself. So he just got the same introduction that everyone else got, and then they just unveiled the bus, and that was it.
Was I the only one that thought Greek was actually going to give a speech?
I didn't know until Friday.
Okay.
That there was no speech.
Yeah.
And again, that's a Hall of Fame rule. Like, why?
Why are there rules for this? It's so silly.
It really is.
I mean, it's a ceremony.
The Hall of Fame is weird, man. Like, obviously,
is it cultish?
It's exactly what I was going to say. That is exactly the word I was going to say. Obviously, it's very well documented on this podcast that I'm not the most pro Hall of Fame person. And, man, just being there, like, obviously, I was really happy for Champ, really happy for the Bolins. That was what was kind of driving my excitement for the event. But, dude, the gold jacket dinner is done in this, like, ballroom, and you've got David Baker, who is, like, the largest human ever, standing upon this, like, dais that's 20 feet off the ground, like, speaking out upon the people. And now it's just like, this is so weird.
It's like Lion King, where he's on the rock.
It's like a king, like projecting out to the city. And I was just sitting there like, this is so weird. Like, I get the ceremonial nature of everything.
Right.
And I tried to, like, get entrenched into this. But I'm like, you have all these, like, very wealthy, accomplished men in gold jackets, like, standing in a line to, like, congratulate the new members of the fraternity. And I was just, it's a little weird. So that's why they have all these, like, weird rules.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like its own little society.
That is bizarre.
And, like, everyone that, like, works in the Hall of Fame and just, like, there's, like, these offices, and I'm just like, this is, like, it's almost, I feel like it's a bigger deal to the people who are a part of the Hall of Fame committee and all that stuff than it even is to the fans or the people who are getting inducted. And that makes it weird to me.
That makes it very, very weird. And I guess that would make sense of why have it in Canton. It's because that's just another weird little thing to it.
It's weird. It is certainly weird. I forget what the point I was making was.
So Hall of Fame. Oh, weird. Yeah. So, weird rules.
So they weren't. They didn't allow Greek to give a speech, which is just okay. Weird. Champ Bailey, man.
Whew. Yep.
It couldn't have been a better symbolic, thing for his career, because he was locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Not read. I mean, had notes. not reading off the notes, naming off like 40 people in a row just off the top of his head. That blew my mind. All by their nicknames.
Yeah.
He knocked it out of the park in terms of thanking his coaches and thanking the Broncos country and thanking anyone and everyone involved. But, man, the message that he delivered at the end, it was so well articulated. And I was so happy for him because I felt like he thought to himself, this might be the last stage I have that's going to be this grand to deliver a message that's important to me. And he delivered it with such class and such poise. And you could tell it really, really, really meant a lot for him. And just witnessing that, it made me emotional because I was so, like I said, just happy for Champ that he was able to deliver that message that was clearly important to him. And I don't think anyone could have delivered it any better.
I think it made everyone just so proud. Of course, his family, his mom, which he mentioned many times, but also Broncos country, but also NFL fans, and also just anyone else that watched it. You don't have to be an NFL fan to appreciate his message, to appreciate what he did. And that's probably the coolest thing that you can do in a speech is make everyone proud and happy, and especially for Broncos country.
And without reading, I think, the entire message, which was long, and I encourage you to watch and for yourself and listen. But the message that he was giving was, hey, to all of, on behalf of black men, to all of our white friends, please listen. Just listen when we speak to you about our struggles, our fears, our trials and tribulations. Because in his words, if our friends won't listen, then no one will.
Right.
And I thought it was just powerful because there's been a lot of very powerful speeches on the topic of race and that sort of thing. But I felt like this was a very pointed message that I hadn't heard delivered in that way before. And it's why I tweeted out, because I felt it was really I think that's a really important message that everyone can learn from. And it doesn't matter your political standing or anything like that. But in all senses of life, and especially the one that Champ is talking about, we can do a better job of listening. Like, so many things would be improved if we all just did a better job of listening to each other. So hats off to Champ, because I really felt like he won the night with that message.
He did. He did, and he did a fantastic job. Used his stage and platform to send a fantastic message, and that it was so cool to see, because the beginning of his speech thanked everyone. Then, the part about the Broncos was so cool, saying that it was the best thing that ever happened to his career, taking a shot at Chargers fans.
Awesome.
Loving Broncos country, praising Broncos country, and then he goes in this very deep message. It was awesome.
Really awesome. Okay. I think that's a good place for us to take a quick break, but when we come back on the other side, we'll get to your questions.
The Colorado Golf Association is dedicated to preserving, improving, and serving the game of golf here in Colorado, and right now they're conducting their annual Dream Golf Vacation Raffle. Ed Mate, Executive Director of the Colorado Golf Association, gave us some more info on what exactly you can win if you enter.
We had 6 grand prizes this year and 40-plus other prizes. So the big ticket items, so to speak, or the grand prizes are a trip to the BMW Championship, including VIP access, thanks to our partnership with BMW. We have a trip to Streamsong. We have a trip to Bandon Dunes. We have a trip to Sand Valley. And then we have what I think might be the coolest, a chance to take a 7 Series BMW down to Telluride to play in a CGA-only event. The raffle tickets will go on sale on our website, coloradogolf.org. Tickets are $40, and all the proceeds from the raffle are going to support youth development in the state of Colorado. So you're making a great donation to a great cause, but you're also having a chance to really have a fantastic dream golf vacation.
For a chance to win, be sure to go to coloradogolfassociation.org.
Rolling along here on the BSN Broncos podcast, and we can't go much further without giving a shout-out to Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of BSN Denver, and just damn good beers. I got a lot of crap from our subscribers that met up with me at Passion Blues because I didn't bring any Breckenridge beers. And specifically, I didn't bring Strawberry Sky. And I can promise you this, they didn't have Strawberry Sky behind the bar at Passion Blues. So to those guys, I'm sorry. But I only take a carry-on. When I travel, I have a duffel bag. I put everything, and this is a small duffel bag. It's carry-on on Frontier, which they call a personal item. Yep. So I put all my suit in there for the game, my clothes, my computer, my charger, anything that I need. Usually an extra pair of shoes. This time I designed it so I wouldn't need an extra pair of shoes.
Wow.
Which was a big dub. Anyways, I didn't have room for the Breckenridge beers, but everyone has room for Breckenridge beers in their life. So go on to their website, use the beer locator. If you want to find Strawberry Sky, it's under there on BR Strawberry. If you're just looking for the nearest place near you that has Breckenridge beer, the beer locator will tell you exactly what do they have near you and where you can get it and what ones you can get.
I just love how the BSN community is buying into them and trusting us, and all the reviews have been positive. So, hey, you're a little skeptical of Ryan or I? Well, just listen to everyone else and make sure you go out and grab some tonight. It's still the weekend. Go get some.
I had no idea what day it was until you just said that. It's been a long week. All right. Shout out to Breckenridge Beers. Damn good beers. How about the fantasy game? I think I know how this went because there were only two touchdowns scored in the game, and both of them were by your team, and no one else was like. It's not like there were standouts that didn't have touchdowns, so I have a feeling I got blown out here.
My first two draft picks came through. I got to call myself, who's the best drafter in NFL history? Zach Stevens. You can just call him. You can just say it's me. Ryan, your team, your highest scorer was, do you know who it would be?
I can look at my team right here.
Yep.
I'm going to say Devontae Jackson.
Yep, exactly. He had 26 yards.
2.6 points, baby.
2.6 points, your highest guy. Yeah, that just didn't get it done for you. You finished with 9.36 points. What's
That's
that equate
so
to? Your whole team equated for 93 receiving yards or rushing yards or 20 yards or no, 30 yards with an injury or with a touchdown. My team, 23.58 points.
Hang on. So if you take away the – even you still would have won even without the touchdowns.
Yep, even without both.
But still, barely. There were not very many fantasy points to be had out on that field.
There were not. Devontae Booker got me 0 since he didn't play. Austin Fort got me -1 point.
Oh, my God.
Trinity Benson got you 0 points. Troy Fumagalli got you 0.6 points. I mean, it was an ugly game
tough
in terms of fantasy.
Tough scrapping out there. So who, outside of your two touchdown getters, who was your leading point scorer?
Khalfani Muhammad. Khalfani Muhammad, even without the touchdown.
Oh, but okay, what about just another player?
Juwan Winfrey.
No, take away the touchdown.
Then I had Kevin Hogan coming in at 1.48 points. Drew Lock for you had 1.96.
Oh, so he was the better quarterback.
Unless, do sacks count?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I don't know ESPN. And NFL.com, they count.
I hate that. It's not your fault when you get sacked.
So we're not doing sacks.
Usually. One of them was his fault.
Drew's was his fault.
One of them.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yep. So we're not doing sacks for future.
So.
Okay. No sacks.
Especially against – I mean, that was a big problem for Drew.
Drew's a safe play moving forward then. We're not counting sacks. I like
not
that.
Not really because – he can't get in a rhythm back there because he's standing behind turnstiles.
You know what I love, though? I love that he's taking shots.
Oh, yeah.
And that after the first one that was incomplete, he still went back to it. He tried it out.
Same play.
Yep.
It's just a different receiver.
Yep.
They gave him a little faster one, so they thought maybe he would run under it a little better.
And don't forget, Chris Collinsworth put that first one completely on Noah Fant. Now, if you want to believe it or not, who knows, but it's coming from a receiver.
Why would Noah Fant not be going 100% on that play? That's a touchdown play. It's drawn up in the huddle as a touchdown play. Why would he not be running 100%?
I think it was more that just he's not in 100% shape is what I think training camp legs means. Is like he's really tired. And Drew Lock was planning for him to be, you know, going 100%, and his speed was at 80. Not that he wasn't giving 100.
So his 100% was just lower.
Right.
So then it's not his fault.
It's not.
Or is it his fault for... I feel like, can you blame a rookie for not having their training camp legs?
Chris certainly believes so.
What could he have done better? I mean, obviously, I was critical of Noah early in camp for his shape, but I think he's in shape now. But I guess is the theory that if he would have come in better shape, then he wouldn't have training camp legs right now?
Exactly. If he would have come in strong, then those first few workouts wouldn't have made him sore, is my type of thinking. Meh. And when you're sore, you can't lift as much. He's saying he should have been Connor McGovern and just came in as strong as possible.
I just think if you got training camp legs after 10 practices, I'm concerned about what's going to happen to you in week 14.
As with most rookies, right? There's the wall, and they'll tell us, no, there's no wall. And then the next year they'll say, yeah,
definitely
hit
the wall.
There's a wall
there at the end of the season. Oh, man. All right, well, congratulations on your...
Thank you. 1-0. We'll remember this.
Ugly
you're
victory.
You're on a very tough uphill battle now.
Hey, there's 4 more games. Me and Drew Lock are feeling the same right now. Not our best performance in the first week, but we are fully committed to doing everything it takes.
Here's the thing, though, Ryan. You're no rookie. I give Drew Lock the benefit of the doubt by being a rook. You're no rookie. You're a seasoned vet that's just lost it. You're on your...
Speaking of seasoned... Well, this is a seasoned vet that never had it. It's Paxton Lynch week.
Yes. Isn't that great?
It's awesome. He's probably gonna carve up the Broncos.
He probably is, isn't he?
No, the second team defense is too good. And third, I don't know who he's running with.
They looked like it. I mean, against... Oh, Kurt Benkert didn't look too shabby, but they still held him.
What an annoying name.
Yeah, seriously. I was thinking about that name today.
Our friend Vic Lombardi always talks about punchable faces. That's a punchable name.
It really is.
Kurt Benkert. Listen, there's people who say, like, you shouldn't trust anyone with 2 first names, which you're close, but that little S saves you on the end. I'm not a subscriber to that. But I will say, never trust anyone with 3 first names when 2 of them are the same. Kurt, Ben, Kurt. Kurt, Ben, Kurt.
Can you guess what part of the country he's from?
Frankfurt.
What part of the country? He's from Frankfurt?
Frankfurt, Germany. Yes.
Frankfurt, Germany. Yeah, I would go somewhere out east.
Do you know?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
You can't just throw that out there. It's like asking a trivia question that you can't confirm if I'm right or not.
So you're guessing Germany, and I'm going East Coast. Well, I'll get the information.
All right. You do that.
Wow. He is either my phone's listening to me, or he's the first Kurt that pops up on Google. Is that wild?
Maybe you did. You are you sure you didn't Google him like during the game?
I haven't been Googling Kurt Benkert. I can guarantee you that.
All
right, I was right. Hit it right on the head. From Baltimore, Maryland.
Ah, yeah. I'm not okay with his name. I'm really not okay with that.
He also has no Wikipedia photo.
That's worse than Nick Mullins.
Yep.
Where did he go to school?
He went to East Carolina, and the University of Virginia.
He's a Pirate.
Yep.
Just like my guy, Eamon Badwin.
Oh, very cool.
All right, I'm trying to pull up our questions here as we move on.
I can jump into them right now. First one coming in from TrueChampFan24. He says, after reading RK's story, I tailed off my instant reaction to Fangio's comments on Locke.
There we go.
However, I just get this feeling that Locke is not Fangio's guy. I know he's a little old school and likes to call guys out, but this just feels different. Maybe he believes in him so much that he just knows he can do better. But I don't get that feeling at all. Y'all are closer than we can ever get. What is your take? Does Fangio just see more in Locke? Or was this John's pick and old Vic wants nothing to do with him? Thanks, guys.
Vic doesn't have guys. I firmly believe that Vic doesn't have guys. So it's not that he's a fan or he's a Kevin Hogan guy and John's a Drew Locke guy. I just think Vic just calls it like he sees it. all of his opinions are based on what he sees on the field, and he's being hard on Drew right now because Drew is not ready to play NFL football.
Yeah, exactly, and I think we really dove into it earlier, but Vic would not be making it this obvious if he really didn't like Drew. And also, he talks like this about a lot of guys. It just gets the most attention because it's the rookie quarterback that's trying to make his way up. He's the young gun. He's the guy with all the attention. He says this stuff about many guys.
I just don't think he's the type of guy to just like, what reason would he have to not like Drew Lock? I think the only thing that would make Fangio not like a guy is a lack of dedication or trying to
doesn't
be better.
Work.
Or doesn't work. A Paxton Lynch type.
Yep.
Speaking of Paxton Lynch, Dan Burke chimes in and says, I just realized that next week is Paxton's first game as a Seahawk, and it's conveniently against the Broncos, and I can't tell y'all how excited I am for that.
Do you think Paxton's excited for it?
Hell yeah.
You think so?
Yep. I think he thinks the Broncos did him dirty.
You think the Broncos players are excited for it?
Yes.
Because Vic has no play in this game. Paxton's done nothing for Vic. He hasn't hurt him in any way. If it was Vance Joseph, we'd be seeing crazy blitzes dialed up left and right. These players are going to want to show that, yeah, come on, Paxton, we're going to get you back.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I think Paxton thinks the Broncos did him dirty, which is the problem with Paxton Lynch in the first place.
Exactly.
With that in mind, if you're John Elway, I feel like the only thing you can be is nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my God, what if he actually does put it together, because we've seen him put it together for short periods of time. What if he goes like 12 of 14 for 180 yards and two touchdowns?
You think John has a conversation with Vic, do what you gotta do
a little.
Yep, do it just vanilla against who's their third string guy they
Geno
brought
Smith.
Someone yep go vanilla against Geno Smith, go vanilla against Russell Wilson, bring the freaking heat against Paxton.
I think it's not going to be like, don't go vanilla. It's just going to be like, send lots of blitzes.
Yeah.
And you don't need to show your fancy blitz packages, but just make sure you're sending extra guys.
Or maybe John says, I don't need to do anything special. He's going to take care of himself.
How funny would it be if they left a QB spy out there? Because he runs so much.
Yep.
Next one's from Hard Rocker. Says, would it be a possibility that we could get something for Hogan in a trade? Because even with him looking good in the first preseason game, there does not really feel like there's a place for him on his team. Well, I already addressed that earlier. I think there is 100% a place for him on this team. And I think he's going to make the team.
Yeah, I'm not 100% there yet, because there's still four more preseason games for Drew Lock to show that he's the guy and show that let's keep this roster spot for someone else. But also, when you go through the roster, Ryan, I told this on Friday, when you go through the roster, it's not like we're pinching guys out of the roster. It's pretty easy to get down to 53, and it's easy to find a spot here or there. I can absolutely see a route for Kevin Hogan on this team, but I can also see that Drew takes over and shows that he's the backup.
It would depend on the odds. I would put money on it, though, right now,
that
Kevin Hogan makes the roster.
What odds do you need? I'm not giving them to you.
Just even.
Okay. No. I bet you could get those somewhere.
That's easy money. All right, from BC Bronco. New sub from up here in beautiful British Columbia. Been freeloading since December and pulled the trigger while on the ferry over to Vancouver, and I can't wait to get my shirt and rock it at work in front of all these cheeseball Seahawks fans up here. Only real question for y'all is regarding Locke. Was his shaky play due to porous offensive line that he was playing behind, or is it more his development as a passer that needs work, possibly a bit from both columns? Thanks, gents, for all you do. By far the best Broncos coverage out there, and the Denver Sports Podcast is legit. I love BSN, so happy to have found it after one of RK's tweets last season. Cheers, BC Bronco.
And then he chimes in one more thing. He says, oh, wanted to toss in one more thing. This is my first subscription sports service ever, and only a day in the audio stories are legit, and making the family road trip even more enjoyable.
That's awesome to hear. I love the family being involved.
Yeah, that is awesome. And in terms of Locke, I think we talked about already, but I think you just need to look at three plays that we saw from him. One, take one of the overthrows. Well, we'll say the Muhammad one, because Chris Collinsworth didn't excuse Locke on that one. He just overthrew him. Do we know that that was an issue from Locke coming out? Yeah, accuracy was a concern, and a lot of people think that's way bigger issue than others. That's something we'll certainly keep our eye on. It hasn't been a glaring issue out here at camp. That's why I'm not too worried about that. But that's one you can look at, and that's on Locke. The next one is the back-to-back sacks. The first one, he freaked out, and he pulled the ball down.
That was the second one, I think.
I think it was the first one, okay, then the second one, the pocket collapsed. Yeah, but the one where he freaked out and pulled the ball down and ran backward, that's a rookie looking like a rookie quarterback. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Jones looks like that. Kyler Murray's going to look like that. I know you don't even want to hear that,
no,
Ryan. And Dwayne Haskins will look like that. That's just going to happen. And then the third one was the pocket just absolutely collapsed around him, and he couldn't do anything. So it's not fair to say that it was all on Drew Lock. It's not fair to say it was all on the offensive line.
I haven't had a chance to go back and rewatch. I just want to watch the Lock cut up, and I'm hopefully someone's already made that for me on YouTube. How many passes did he throw? Nine? 5 of 9?
Yep.
I wonder how many he had a clean pocket.
7 of 11.
7 of 11?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, it was Hogan who was 5 of 8.
Yep.
7 of 11. I wonder how many of those he had a clean pocket on and which ones. Now, you can't count on a clean pocket. But all I'm saying is I think a lot of the issues that happened, the should-be interception, he was in trouble. He was trying to force something on a third down. And the other play that you didn't mention that I believe is important is his throw to David Williams. It was a beauty out into the flat from the other from the center of the field, hit him right in the hands, and if he catches it, it's for sure a first down and gets the chains moving. It's probably, in my opinion, a big gain. It would have taken the defender getting David Williams by the ankles to stop him from trotting down the sideline. And who knows? Maybe that happens and they get into a little bit of a rhythm as an offense. They go score. So the good news, as I wrote at the end of my article on Drew, is there's 4 more games. And he's going to get a lot of playing time in all 4 of those games.
Exactly. He definitely will. Next one from Mile High Kansan says, "Hey, guys, after seeing how explosive Khalfani Muhammad could be, thoughts on him potentially being the third down back over Riddick and or Booker? Should he continue to progress?"
Nope. I wish I could say that he has a fair and equal chance, but they just paid Theo Riddick like $2.5 million.
Yeah.
He's your third down back.
I had a fan reach out to, you know when some fans reach out and they tag a lot of writers and a lot of beat people in something to get their take? Well, I was a little late to the party. Someone had already commented, and it was this person was making a case that this, I don't want to say media member, but this Broncos person that follows the Broncos said Theo Riddick is absolutely fighting for a spot on this team. I said, what? So I didn't want to respond there, but I'll make it very clear now. Theo Riddick is a lock. You write him in Sharpie right
now.
Unless
he gets hurt.
Right. To make this team. He is on this team, Ryan. There's no question about it.
They wouldn't have gone through all the trouble of courting him, paying him more than, a lot more than the vet. Well, maybe not a lot more, but more than the vet minimum.
It was a 5-day process. How often do you see that happen where teams wait and let the reports just sit that he's going to sign, that they want him, and he just gets 5 days to make his decision?
Yeah, no one is waiting 5 days for a camp body.
Exactly, exactly. He is making this team. So the question is, who's the fourth running back if they keep 4? Is it Muhammad? Is it DeVonte Jackson? Does he spike him? Does DeVonte Booker say, no, you guys have to keep me? That's where the decision is. The top 3 are set in stone.
Just quickly on DeVonte Booker, I have heard rumblings. I wouldn't say this is for sure, but I've heard rumblings that the Broncos are exploring trade options with DeVonte Booker. So, and I guess you can call that. We'll keep it at rumblings. Rumblings that the Broncos are exploring trade options, and that's one of the reasons why he didn't play.
Oh, there we go.
So
that would make sense.
Maybe they can get like a conditional 7th.
Right.
I believe that's about the best they could do there. But it is overcrowded now, and Theo Riddick is going to make the team. So as it relates to Khalfani Muhammad, I hope the Broncos can keep him around in one way or another because he is a nice little weapon. The thing is, I just don't think the Broncos have a use for him. And so it's not a knock on his talent. It's just you have Philip Lindsay, you have Royce Freeman, you have Theo Riddick. He doesn't necessarily do anything new that none of those guys do, and that's going to make his path to this team very tough.
Exactly.
All right. Before we move along here, we're still doing our deal. And Zach, we are close to topping last year's number.
Ooh.
And I will be elated if we are able to surpass the number we set last year, which at the time, I can't remember if it's been topped, at the time was a record for a promo code on BSN. With training camp still a nice little chunk left here, we have a really good chance to topple that. And like I said, I'll be ecstatic. So if you're still a freeloader and you're still on the edge and you're still thinking about it, just think about that we have a chance to do something really, really cool, and you can be a part of it if you use the code BRONCOSCAMP. And when you do that, you're going to get $10 off your subscription. So you get a full year for $34.99. It comes out to $2.91 a month. It comes out to less than 10 cents a day. It's a hell of a deal. And we're going to throw in a free shirt of your choice. My guy Joseph, who came to the watch party, or what do you call it? The meetup. The other night, he was rocking the Fangio, the Godfather, which is a good one. Eamon Badwin was rocking the Phil Lindsay Homegrown at the Hall of Fame when I ran into him there. The options are solid. So make sure you subscribe. Check out what we have. Get your free shirt. And if you want to just hold on to the promo code, because remember, the sale is not going to last forever, but the promo code will last you. Maybe you want to wait for the next Bronco shirt to come out before you make a move on that. Whatever it is, make sure you subscribe and get in on this content.
This is a no-brainer. Flip RK and I a nickel each day, and in the process, get yourself a shirt. Get yourself a subscription so you can know exactly what happens on today's practice minutes after the practice ends. Or, you know what? You can just listen to our sweet voices read you exactly what went down today.
Boom. All right, and you can listen to more of our sweet voices talking to you after this short break. What's up, guys? Ryan Konigsberg here, and I gotta tell you about the Blake Street Tavern. It's my favorite sports bar in town, as evidenced by the fact that we had our fantasy draft there. It's where I watched Super Bowl 48. It's where I watched CU win a Pac-12 basketball championship back in the day. It's the place to be for any sporting event. It's the biggest bar in town. I always joke you could land a 747 in there. It was named the National Sports Bar of the Year in 2017 by Nightclub and Bar Magazine. It wins Best Sports Bar in Denver seemingly every year from Westward. Anyone else that's voting, it's the place to be. They've got great specials, and the food is out of this world. I recommend the nachos, the green chili fries, the buffalo chicken wrap. You name it, they've got it. And the location is perfect. Just 2 blocks north of Coors Field, and they have parking. So go check out the Blake Street Tavern. All right, it's the final segment on the BSN Broncos podcast. We thank you guys for tuning in with us on this Sunday. Spend some time with your family today, but also spend some time with us. It's, you know, it's a trade-off. Give us an hour, give them an hour. It's, you know, that's all they need. And the next question here comes in from Iceman. He says, "Hey, boys, I know Vic was a stud in the game, and I hope he's better today. But he has started a new culture with the Broncos, and even though he doesn't want one." I don't think it's that he doesn't want one. He just doesn't necessarily believe in the term. He says, "The Broncos' new culture is called winning. Boys, 1-0 in the Fangio era. We know the Hall of Fame in the next 4 games do not count, but they sure do matter if you want the rookies to start their beginning as a Bronco with a winning culture from the get-go. My takeaway from the game is that it was very entertaining Sunday night football game on a Thursday." Your definition of entertainment is far different than
mine. Iceman is jonesing for football.
I was jonesing for football too until like 48 seconds into the game. And I was like, oh, yeah, this isn't football at all. Anyways, he goes on and says, "We all know that we should not be overreacting, but Winfrey showed he's a gamer and a baller and a steal in the sixth. We did learn that the Broncos' depth is better than the Dirty Birds. Many of our players are impressive, to say the least, against comparable talent on the other team. I have to mention Matt Schaub is done in the NFL. Their third-string kid was injured and was the best quarterback on the field last night. I hope he recovers so he can put Matt out to pasture."
Oh,
wow.
My goodness.
"The SNF crew was in midseason form for August 1st. By the way, August 1st is Colorado Day, and it certainly was. Get well, Vic, and as always, go Broncos."
Yeah, I mean, Vic is one tough guy. I love you, Iceman, and I love all that you comment. But if we're going off this philosophy, I hate to bring it up, but then Vance Joseph established a winning culture during his first preseason game, during his second preseason game, during his third preseason game, and during his fourth preseason game. And Vic didn't say he needed to do that. He didn't say he wanted to do that. He said the complete opposite. Vance took a different approach. Vance said it is important to win in the preseason because, he said exactly what Iceman is saying. Vance said you establish a winning culture in the preseason. So Iceman, I love you, but preseason don't mean a thing.
No, don't. And shout out to Vic. Man's got stones in more ways than one.
Hopefully he's got one fewer stone today.
I was very uncomfortable with the line of questioning about, like, a rock being inside of this man's manhood. I just didn't feel like he should have to answer questions about that. I don't know. And I wasn't the only one. A PR representative of the Broncos was rolling their eyes at the amount of questions there were.
I was surprised. It was like 40% of the time.
I know. Like, when I went back to use stuff for the game, because obviously I'm not writing about Vic Fangio's kidney stones. I skipped about 40% of the presser.
Yep.
Interesting stuff. For Mike, who says, hey guys, and Mike, real quick, your email is your username. I don't know if you want to change that. If you need help with that, email help@bsndenver.com. I assume you probably don't want that, but maybe that's his advertisement for him.
Exactly.
And if that's the case, then let us know and we'll read it. He says, hey guys, another new subscriber from Montana. Shout out to Henry. Love the pod and my new Philip Lindsay homegrown shirt. Thanks for all the info and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. We're so happy that you're rolling with us, Mike and Ryan. When you look at that email address, are we thinking he's a dentist? Are we thinking he's a professional cleaner? What route do you go?
I don't know. I was thinking he might be able to help clean up some kidney stones.
Or maybe help clean up this tent, which again is just people are disrespecting us.
Don't get me started. Speaking of stones, from Hacksack.
He says, so Zach was saying the other day about Vic being, in essence, the defensive coordinator and Skangs running the offense. I've been thinking something along the lines of this for a while, but it begs the question, who is the head coach? Obviously, it's Vic, but if he's focused heavily on the defense, then who is taking the role of the traditional head coach, looking at both sides of the ball equally?
No one. John.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Some people may say, uh-oh, that doesn't seem good. Well, you know where this was also happening? In 2015, when Gary Kubiak, he was a little more, maybe he had a little bit, no, he didn't. It was Wade Phillips' defense, it was Gary Kubiak's offense. And Ryan, did that work out okay?
Yeah, it worked out great. And you know who else it worked out for? The Los Angeles Rams last year. You guys. Sean McVay doesn't even watch the defense when they're on. I'm not kidding you. I'm not exaggerating. He doesn't watch.
His back is turned.
He literally goes to the bench on the sidelines, looks down. He wants to see the pictures. He's looking at plays. He's going over film. He doesn't even watch the defense play. It doesn't matter. Vic Fangio is the head coach of this team. If a player, you know, has something they want to talk about, it's Vic that they're going to go to. He does have an eye on everything. He's just a defensive expert, and that's what John wanted.
Exactly. Next one coming in from Jewel Flacco, and this one's good. He says, is it crazy to either of you that Josie Jewel, spelled J-U-L-L,
wow,
isn't just a starting inside linebacker year two, but an unquestioned one at that? Sounds like since Todd's injury, they've only been playing guys next to Jewel, and that his spot isn't just safe, but rock solid. The whole offseason was about whether Jewel can take the jump and crack into the starting lineup, but he might not have what Fangio was looking for. It seems like Jewel quietly locked himself in as a starter with barely a peep. I'll tell you one thing, Jewel Flacco. 100% right. There's no question that the other Jewel, Josie, is absolutely a rock solid starter for this year.
Do you have a problem with that?
After what they did this offseason of, like, doing nothing? No.
I don't either. I think he's the best option they have there. Yeah. So he's the starter.
Yeah. And
also, now that Joe Jones is hurt, could be IR for him. Yep. Seems to be IR for him.
Yep.
Now there's really no competition there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think once you had fluctuation from one side of things, you needed stability on the other side.
Exactly.
All right, he goes on and says, P.S. on the penalties at practice, seems easy enough to tell one player to commit a penalty during the down without telling the whole team, especially a vet like Wolf. It tests consistency between downs. Have guys ready for the down, get interrupted, move some amount of yardage, then try to do it all again with the same focus. Hard to have the same will to attack after that interruption. It seems even more scripted because the two penalties in question. It tested the offense and the defense on their readiness down after down, and then still resulted in the same down and distance scenario that Fangio wanted to test, especially after both the offense and defense at the line to get ready for the snap twice before the actual snap. It's practicing continued focus despite derailments. It also practices the team's approach to penalties. Are the guys supposed to give the offending player a pat on the back, or are those supposed to bark at him and about locking in? Practice penalties that seem organic because Vic only told the offending player to commit the penalty. Test what the team does and when penalized, and if they are sticking to the Fangio script even between plays, and if they stay locked in.
Jewel Flacco is either Vic Fangio or he's the players that made the penalties in those times. I'd like your defense. It makes sense. I'm not buying it. I'm still not buying it.
Okay, the last one comes in from Mr. Freeze. He says, I don't know if you've seen the video of Baker shotgunning a beer at an Indians game, but man, am I jealous of the people of Cleveland. A sentence I never thought I'd say in my life. Baker's such an easy guy to root for. We need one.
Yes.
Did you see it?
Yes.
You know what was by far the most impressive part?
What?
What was the most impressive part to you?
How quick?
Nope. Not at all.
What?
He opened the shotgun with his tooth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen that.
You say impressive, I say risky. It's risky business.
He was clearly an experienced veteran in this.
You open some beers with your teeth.
No.
Yeah. Don't you pull the top off?
No, I know many different ways to pop the top off a beer, but none of it will be with my teeth.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure. I'm way too scared to do that. I hate the feeling of metal on my teeth.
I swore I've seen you do that in the past 10 days. Maybe not.
What?
Maybe not. I'm going to keep a close eye on you next time we have
Where
a cold
do you
one.
Think you saw this? The bar crawl?
No. I guess it was the past 2 weeks.
At Zach's house?
Yep.
Couldn't have been me. I can open it with... You give me anything, I'll figure out a way to open it, but I'm not opening it with my teeth.
Well, then I think you're a smart man.
Yes. But shotgunning a beer with your teeth isn't really risky. You just have to puncture a little piece of aluminum.
One of my friends did their first shotgun, and they looked so uncomfortable after it. This was years ago. I'm like, what? You know, it's uncomfortable. You know, you'll get through it. It's okay. Still, like, 10 minutes later, so uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, this is weird. He then coughs up a piece of the can.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah, disturbing.
Yeah. How?
I have no idea.
How big was the piece?
It was decent size. It was concerning.
Oh, my God, dude. Anyways, Baker is an absolute beast for that.
Oh.
And there's something that is undeniable.
Yes.
We need a chugging video of Drew Lock. All the cool kids are doing it.
Yep.
And not like out of a Dixie cup, like, who was it, Aaron Rodgers?
Yep. Of course it was Aaron Rodgers. Of course.
They don't even sell beers that small. How did he even get that? It was like the water cup you get at like the dentist's office.
Because it's Aaron Rodgers. I'm not surprised at all, Ryan.
Your hate of Aaron Rodgers is so weird.
It's just the truth.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us today on the BSN Broncos podcast. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you guys for getting us back to 5 stars on iTunes. We
yes,
are back.
We're back, baby.
And we'll appreciate anyone else who helps make sure that we can't have it taken away from us. So give us a rating. And if you're feeling extra generous, write a little message about what you like about this podcast. And subscribe to BSN Denver and buy Breckenridge beers and do all the other stuff that you got to do. All right. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. It's getting me down. Waiting for you. Makes me return is what I need you to do.
Hey guys, it's Allie and Lindsay here, and we want to talk to you about our new favorite wine subscription.
It is Winestir. The best thing about Winestir is that they work with small wineries.
You know BSN loves supporting small local businesses, and Winestir is just that, supporting real people making real wine.
These guys will curate a hand-picked shipment for you from the best small wine producers in the U.S.
So my favorite part about Winestir is the fact that I don't really know much about wine, and when I go to a liquor store, I tend to gravitate towards the same wine I've always had instead of trying something new. But with Winestir, they make the process so easy.
That's exactly right, Allie. And from my perspective, you guys, I love wine and have tried so many different types of wine at different price points. And Winestir is not only easy, but it is quite literally some of the best wine I've ever tasted, and it makes for an amazing gift.
What's also ideal about Winestir is that you can pick your shipments based on your schedule.
That's right, Allie. So whether you're a casual drinker or you love hosting parties, you can get your shipment based on your lifestyle. So head to their website today, you guys. That's Winestir, Winestir.com. We've got BSN25 promo code for you, and you can save $25 off your first order.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.